All right, guys, welcome to the show, Unpopular Playground, everybody. And today I'm going to have a short discussion on something that probably no one or most people don't know about or haven't heard about and definitely are not taught in school. We're going to play a video and we're going to have some discussion along the way while the video is playing. We're not going to get too deep into this, but it just kind of whet your appetite. I'm going to come back later on another episode and talk more about this. But basically, when you are born in the United States, and we'll get into other countries too, but we're going to focus on the US right now. When they issue your parents a little card in the hospital with your social security number on it and your name in all caps, that doesn't mean what you think it means. And we're going to get into that today. So Jen, if you have the video, we can go ahead and start playing this. And just be prepared, guys, because it's going to shock some of you, and it might kind of trigger some of you too, but just bear with us. And remember, no matter how much this upsets you, the truth always sets you free. So let's get into it.
All right, here we go.
Hello there. My name is Brandon. This is my brand. And today I am going to teach you how to have infinite money in less than 10 minutes. Let's get started. So first and foremost, we need to figure out what is money.
I'm not sure what happened.
Let's see. I'm still here. I'm just trying to.
You couldn't see it?
No, unless I.
Let me try it again. It says present.
Right.
Screen share. Share screen. Allow. Okay, so. Here we go. There we go. I think that should work. Can you see it now?
Everyone thinks they know what money is. They think it's those green things in their pocket, but it's definitely not. I'm going to bring it to you and explain the whole thing to you. So let's start off with Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. It says, no state shall, and then it says a whole bunch of things, but one of the things it says in here is, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Now we look up money in the Lax Law.
Can you see it now?
I've got unusual and ordinary acceptation, it means gold, silver, or paper money used as a circulating medium of exchange. Now, this part is really the most important part and does not embrace notes, bonds, evidences of debt, or other personal or real estate. Keep in mind on that one, because we're going to be getting into some fun here now. Federal Reserve Notes. Wait a second. The definition of money says it does not embrace notes.
Interesting.
Well, if these bad boys ain't money, what the hell are they? Well, the answer comes from the Uniform Commercial Code, Article 3, Section 104, which we're going to talk about more. And they're actually called negotiable instruments. So this could mean like a document or contract or deed or.
Okay. All right. So just so everybody can, you know, kind of catch their breath a little bit. So we just kind of, you know, went over the history of like what money really is, which is gold and silver. Okay. We've been off that since forever. Now we have these notes, right? Federal Reserve notes. So you take a dollar out of your pocket, $10 bill right here in my pocket. If I can line up the camera here, kind of backwards.
Yep, the top, I can see it.
Federal Reserve note. Okay. So we've already shown you what you've already, you know, I guess have been oblivious to your whole life. That nowhere on here does it say money, it just says note on it, right? And so then he brought up negotiable instruments, right? Well, what is that? Well, he's going to explain it, but just remember that term, okay? So just I'm going to go ahead and play it. And if you guys want to like pause for any reason, just go ahead and do it, okay?
Yeah. So you ready to continue?
Security. Negotiable means transferable. So this is actually a security, essentially, or a promissory note that I can transfer to you, and you will now be able to possess that value. UCC 3, Article 3, is the section that's all about negotiable instruments, all about our money supply that can be found in UCC Article 3, we're talking about a lot. Now, they define negotiable instruments as only two things, an unconditional promise to pay or an unconditional order to pay a fixed amount of money. This is all how infinite money really works. So we have, like I said, negotiable instruments, unconditional promise to pay or an unconditional order to pay, right? Now, there's two different terms that you're going to see, and we're going to break all these terms down. You can see right here, this is from the Bill of Exchange Act of 1882. There's two different terms. Bill means bill of exchange, and note means promissory bill. So the unconditional order to pay is a bill. You get bills in the mail. We're going to cover that in just a second. That's an unconditional order to pay, and then you have the unconditional promise to pay. So here's just a random bill we've got down here. It's an unconditional order to pay. It says billing date. What is bill a shortening for? It's a shortening for bill of exchange. What is a bill of exchange? It's a negotiable instrument. What is a Federal Reserve note? It's also a negotiable instrument. Starting to see where we're going with this.
All right.
So I think I see what's going on, Jen. The video disappeared, and I think it's because you're sharing your screen. If you do it that way, you have to make sure you're on the YouTube tab where the video is. Otherwise, all we're seeing is like StreamYard
stuff. Okay, so if I'm like this, you can see it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Now, I think there's another way. Like, say you had a video already preloaded in StreamYard, like as a file, then you can just share it like that. But if you're going to share your screen, you have to,
Okay, yeah, we still got to play around with that a little bit. Yeah. So if I leave it right here, you can see the whole screen.
Yep, and then after it's done, you can switch back to where you know.
Then you'll have to tell me because I can't see your hand signals. I can't see you at all.
Okay.
Here we go. So we'll have to play around with it.
What are we doing this?
Right now, I have to switch the tab, so you'll just have to let me know.
Okay, I'll just yell.
Just yell at me.
All right. Is that okay? So I go back because you're off again.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, wrong tab. Okay. So I think this went over what negotiable instruments are, okay? And then when you get a bill, so we all refer to a bill like, you get a bill from your utility company or whatever, right? Just as like that one word bill, but it's actually a bill of exchange. They leave the of exchange off all the time, but it's bills or a bill of exchange that you can exchange with something, right? He's going to get into that right now. Let's go.
Okay. Can you see the whole screen?
And UCC Article 3, Section 102, it's talking about all of UCC Article 3, which is only about negotiable instrument. It literally says this article applies to a negotiable instrument. It does not apply to money. This is not a conspiracy theory, bro. So I've already shown you what a bill of exchange or bill looks like, but you get them in the mail and utility bills. Those are all bills of exchange. They're all negotiable instruments. Just like these bad boys, I'm going to teach you what that means. This is a promissory note. All mortgages, all bank notes, whenever you sign for a loan for a car, a loan for a business loan, it's a promissory note. Basically is a negotiable instrument. Now you ask yourself, what does it need to be in order to be a negotiable instrument? Well, it has to be either an unconditional promise to pay, which is a promissory note, or order to pay, which is a bill of exchange. It has to be signed and it has to be written. Those are the three things it has to have in order to be considered a negotiable instrument. Everyone believes that when you're getting a loan, the bank gives you other people's money that's already in the bank at interest. But the 12 United States Code Section 83 says that general prohibition, no national bank shall make any loan or discount on the security or shares of its own capital stock. So how does the bank give you money? So the way the bank gives you money comes from the Federal Reserve Act, Section 16, Part 2. It's called note issues, but it's also found in the United States Code at Article 12, United States Code, Section 412. So the way it works is they tell you right here, you can make an application to the Federal Reserve agent of collateral in amount equal to the sum of the Federal Reserve notes that's applied for and issued, blah, 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 blah. So it's saying if you want to apply for notes, you need to give us some sort of something in exchange, right? The collateral security thus offered, meaning what you're going to give in exchange for the Federal Reserve notes, shall be notes, drafts, bills of exchange, acceptances, blah, 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 and other things, right? So what they're doing is they're taking, you're endorsing, which means releasing, which we're going to get into in a second, which is the most important part of all this. Your signature is where all the power is. Once you sign it, what are the three things that have to have? Unconditional promise or order, unconditional promise to pay or order to pay, written and signed. That third part is when they slide the mortgage documents across the table and they say, sign here, sir, the collateral security that they're going to give the Federal Reserve in exchange for the Federal Reserve notes when they write that application for notes is the negotiable instruments that you just created with your signature. the promises to pay or the bills of exchange, the orders to pay. You can actually, the way in which you sign things is where all of the magic happens. And we're going to start to get into that.
So he just said a lot. So
yeah,
let's back up a little bit. And is there any specific question that you have, like, that didn't make sense or you need clarification on it? Something?
What I got out of it was, I believe I was told that the bank takes all of the money that's already in. And if you go in for a loan, and Debbie and I had an account there, the money that Debbie and I have sitting in the bank account, they would give you a loan off of the money that maybe us two and anybody else that's where the money's at. They're going to take that by your signature, by me signing it. What they're going to do is take it to the Federal Reserve. And instead of me just going direct to the Federal Reserve and getting a loan out, they're going to get a higher loan out and then charge me interest off of my own money that I'm getting.
You're about 90% right. Not 99%.
Well, that's kind of how I'm getting.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, Jen. They're not, you just said something I was going to comment on. Now I'm like using a blank. But anyway, so yeah. So let's get back to when you go apply for a loan, right? When you sign it, well, which, because that document, which is a negotiable instrument, right? That's what you need to go to, you know, to
the. It's like a blank check.
Yeah. So you mentioned, like, you know, instead of you going to the Federal Reserve and like getting your own money out, well, yes, but that's not really the way it works. Like, you can do that, but you need some kind of negotiable instrument, right? You need some kind of exchange. Right? Remember, bills are called bills of exchange.
Right.
Well, the bank has this negotiable instrument in the form of, like, your loan documents that you're signing, this loan, right? This credit card loan.
Right.
So this $10,000 credit card loan from the bank, well, when you sign it, because what you're doing is you're endorsing the contract that's already in place. You don't even need to do anything else. The bank then goes to the Federal Reserve to get their notes, which is what we think is fees.
Yeah.
It's just notes. So the bank goes and, like, they have their notes. But then guess what? You think the bank expects, right, for you to use your own notes to pay this loan, right? When if you had signed it in a certain way, then that bank would have to, by law, go to the window on your behalf, get notes from your account, right, at the Federal Reserve, and then that pays for your $10,000 loan. You don't have to use your own notes for that. You have notes at the Federal Reserve. Right?
Wow.
So, but because no one was ever taught how to endorse any other way except just sign your name, and what you're actually doing is giving the bank permission. You're signing off. Hey, yeah, go on my behalf, get your notes, and I'll just use my own money for my paycheck, you know, and pay this loan off.
So it sounds like we can pay our loan off without having to at all.
That's the point, Jen. That's the point.
Yeah, we're for cryptocurrency.
The what?
About the whole thing about skipping the banks. I mean, I've been learning a little bit more about cryptocurrency, about the attraction of that. It's like you don't need the bank as the middle person. You can just bypass it.
Let's not get into crypto because that.
No. I'm just trying to relate this whole thing.
Well, I just don't want to confuse anybody. That's like a different thing altogether. But just, he might get into this later. I forgot. But there are other things we're going to bring into the fold in later episodes. But basically, what people have to understand is that this country, and I use people to get triggered, okay? Because, you know, we all love our country. We're all patriotic. You know what I'm saying? But you have to understand the way things were set up here. It's all from a point of commerce. It's all commercial law, okay?
Yeah.
And that's why.
Favor.
Yeah. No. Well, so that's why whenever you get, like, official documents, like, you know, from a car loan, bank loan, government, whatever, have you ever wondered why your name is always all in caps? Always all in capital letters. You know, anything to do with your
social numbers,
it's always kept out. If you get, like, a bill from, like, anything else that doesn't have to do with this, right? Your name isn't in caps. Your social security number isn't attached to that, right? But anything to do with banking, commerce, you know, this kind of thing that we're talking about here, your name, because
all the bills that you come in, your name's in caps. I just thought about that.
Because when we started this episode, your social security number is actually your account number at the Federal Reserve. You want to, now that's a very simplified way to like look, but just to make, to dumb it down, right? To use layman's term, that's what your social security number is. It's an account number for your bank that's held at the Federal Reserve, right? And people hear that and they're like, what? I have a bank. Yes, you have an account at the Federal Reserve that has millions, but it probably at least worth of notes that's used for these purposes. When you get a mortgage, they take your mortgage application because when you sign it, you gave them permission to go to the window and get that money to make sure they have their notes to cover your loan. Okay.
Okay.
But they're taking the money. You're still paying them that mortgage money. Yeah. So go ahead, Jen.
I think it just clicked in. So basically, all of us have an account attached to our social security number, all that BS about social security, not having enough, et cetera. There's more than enough. And basically all we need to know how to do is be able to access our own account with our social security number.
Exactly.
What they've been doing is basically ripping us off and getting all of our money based off of out of our own accounts and charging us interest off of our own accounts.
Yep.
Is that what I'm understanding?
Dumb it down at the simplest terms. Yes.
No.
You got it. Okay. So let's go ahead and finish it and then go answer more questions. All
that
right?
is mind blowing.
And then they tell you, oh, you can't get this much.
Oh,
and then they won't.
You make too much money, so we're taking money.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Before you play it.
Oh, okay.
You mentioned there is more than enough. There has to be, because that's how the system is run. And I know, again, I'm using these buzzwords like the system, but it is what it is. Within the matrix that we're in, it is set up a certain way. And that's how it has to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. You understand? So it's set up in a certain way, but none of us are taught this.
Well, could you imagine if everybody knew, then there wouldn't be a system.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Let's finish.
So when you get into negotiable instruments and the creation of negotiable instruments, in my opinion, the most important part of all is the way that you sign. Now, the word sign and the word endorse, when it comes to a financial instrument, mean the same thing. You can actually take this word endorsement, I-N-D-O-R-S-E-M-N-T, which is how they spell it in UCC3, which we're going to cover. You can take that word and replace the word signature in your mind with the word endorsement, and your life will change forever. And there is a why, is what I'm going to tell you right now. So what everyone is doing on the whole planet all the time with these negotiable instruments when they sign them, they're doing what's called a blank endorsement. If an endorsement is made by the holder of an instrument and it is not special endorsed, right? So what exactly is a blank endorsement? A blank endorsement means that it's payable to bearer, payable to whoever has it. It does not state a payee. It doesn't say who it's supposed to be paid for. It's a blank check. When you just sign and you don't say who the proceeds of this swap, the security swap, is supposed to go to, and you don't write the specifics in the endorsement, it does not state a payee. It's payable to whoever wants it. And the financial institutions take it as a gift. They're like, basically, the way they look at it is you just abandon that security. Now, what they do is they put a special endorsement on. They claim the security, and then they go to the Federal Reserve window and write an application for notes with the security that they just very cleverly had to donate. Oh, no, we didn't steal it. You just kind of donated it to us. Then they get the money from that, and then they loan you your own money back at interest. We started taking a look. We started finding these endorsements on the thing. These are special endorsements. Pay to the order of, without recourse. It's got the name. So they're putting on here where the proceeds of this negotiable instrument are supposed to go to. It's just like a check. Pay to the order of on a check. Where are these funds going? They're claiming the value of this thing and getting it ready to swap it with the Federal Reserve. Look, pay to the order of, and then it has the name on there. My, and that's when they sign it right here. So this is a very specific thing. What is without recourse? We need to cover. So in financial transactions, the word without recourse disclaim any liability to the subsequent holder of a financial instrument. So they're just saying like, hey, if this doesn't work or you don't cash this or this something happened with this, you can't come back and get it. Here's another example that we found. I'm going to show you one more after this. And here's the last example. So you can do this yourself on your bills of exchange and your promissory notes. You can write without recourse, pay to the order of your name in all capital letters, by sign there, and then below there, put your name. And you're saying, guys, I'm giving you this instrument. I'm not donating it to you. you're allowed to go to the.
So give an example of how, like, when you sign up for the mortgage document, well, you sign that negotiable instrument away to the bank. Now they can do whatever they want with it, right? They don't act like special endorse it, but they do, because they know if they stamp it, because you sign off on it, they can go to the window at the Fed Reserve and get their notes.
I said, so they're going, because they have our names all in caps, and they're going on our behalf to pull out money because we signed and gave them permission to get money on our behalf. And then they loan us back our own money, and then they get money.
Yeah, exactly. So they already have their money. Okay, it was that money. They have their money, but they still want your money every month to pay that mortgage. So,
even though they have it already.
So he just showed you what they do. Now he's showing you what you can do, or what you should do, but he's just showing you what can be done according to the law, according to UTC, right? Three, you know, he just like 5,000 times, right? Which anyone can go and look up themselves, right? That's why, you know, we always say, don't just believe what we tell you. Go look it up yourself.
Go research.
Go research yourself. What he's, this is a quick visual, right? So now he's going to show us how we can do that to get our own notes on our behalf, so we can, I'm going to say pay for it, but I guess honor these negotiable instruments on our behalf instead of on the bank's behalf.
The Federal Reserve window, bring back those funds, put those funds on my account, and it zeroes out the whole account, and you can give them the interest as a payment to do the swap for you. A lot of places won't do it. You have to litigate to get this done, but I wanted to show you guys this in less than 10 minutes. I'm running out of time. A lot of information on my website. It's all totally free. Everyone should be doing this. It's awesome.
Listen, if you've been in a car accident, don't call.
All right. So
use this AI app instead. That's how I skip it.
It's Brandon Joe.
Yeah, we'll link it.
Yeah.
Brandon Joe Waiting. Now, Jen, what we can do is I'll link his site and that video in the comments now.
Absolutely.
So what this guy's done is put together a free course. And what it is, it's an email course. So what you do is when you go on his website, you sign up, put your email in, you hit submit. And every day for 20 or 21 days, you'll get like a lot, like that was on a 10 minute video. You get like an hour and a half. Some of the videos are like 2 hours long. Nice. That covers this and more in depth, fully with, you know, like, and he shows you where to go and get this information from the law, from the US law. Okay. So, you know,
now, have you done this?
So I have all 21 videos from this course. Now keep in mind, 20 plus videos that are like over an hour long. That's a lot of time. So I haven't really gone through them. I'm still going through this, trying to crunch everything and understand everything. Okay. But people are going into car dealerships and getting free cars, because when they sign those papers to you, say, okay, sign here for your brand new truck, whatever, then they're endorsing it the way he showed you. And a lot of people are getting free cars. Now, a lot of people are kind of, I don't want to say getting in trouble, but just, you know, people can freak out. Like some of these car dealerships, they'll freak out when they see this, because they either don't understand or, you know, for whatever reason. But doing it the right way, you're actually following the law. And at the also mention litigation. Don't let that scare anybody, okay? That's just knowing what language to use within the legal system to state your case, to get what you want or get what's owed to you. That's all that means, okay? So anyway, he goes through all that, all right? And he even gets into like status, okay, like, do you consider yourself a citizen? Well, what does citizen actually mean, you know? Maybe you don't want to be considered a citizen. Maybe you want to be a sovereign individual. He goes through everything
we taught
in school about the law, about money. Everything is based on commerce, guys. That's, this entire system is set up based on commerce.
Oh, that is not surprising. I have a question, Ramon, on this whole thing. So literally, like, let's say if we go in, let's say the car is $30,000. $30,000, so we go in and we did the special endorsement. So that $30,000 is going to come to us, and all we do is pay the interest off of, like, all we do, we can take that $30,000 that we get from the Federal Reserve with that special endorsement, pay the car off, and then all we have to pay out of pocket is the interest to the bank?
No. We don't. No. We're not doing this to get money for, like, our set. Like, we're not doing this to have the Federal Reserve, you know, deposit 30 grand in our account. That's not how it works. We're doing this because the car dealership gave us a negotiable instrument. We want the car, right? We just know that because this loan is actually in our, it's not to us as, like, an individual, just, you know, free human being. It's to our corporation, our corporation that we have set up at the Federal Reserve. Okay.
So the Federal Reserve pays the car dealership.
Exactly. So when you sign in a certain way, like he showed you, then the car dealership, their only choice is to go take that negotiable instrument, which is the documents that you sign, to the Federal Reserve. And then that, you know, they get their notes to cover your loan in full. There is no interest. He didn't mention that. Okay. And
yeah, that's what I was confused about.
He covers that in the course. I think the main way he does that, because, you know, you're not buying a car every day. But you do have a credit card, and you might use the credit card every day, right? So what he's done is negotiated with the credit card companies, like, listen, you know, my balance is like 50 grand, 100 grand, whatever. Well, first of all, why do I even have a balance if, you know, I'm going to do this every month? You guys can go to the Federal Reserve and zero this account out, okay? But, you know, also, I'll tell you what, you can just collect the insurance off this for doing this, you know, for agreeing to do this with me. And then we both win. You get the interest every month. My account is wiped clean, but out. You know what I mean? So, like, you both.
I got a question on that too.
That's a good idea.
What about those? Now that brings me to those people that are thousands and thousands of dollars in credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
And you got those debt consolidation, nationwide debt, and all of these things. Do you think that's what they're doing, is going to the Federal Reserve in your name, and they're just getting a little piece of it for themselves for wiping your debt out with your own money?
Some might, some won't. I think he covers that in the course. Yeah, so I'm gonna let people pick the course, because I know how I want to answer that, but I don't want to, like, lead anybody, because, like,
right.
So there's certain nuances. All right, let's put it that way. All right.
Yeah.
There's certain nuances with this, but basically any debt that's tied to your legal, you know.
I just didn't know if that's how they were. You know, with that or not, they were, it's like, I wonder if they're going to the Federal Reserve with your own name and getting your own name cleared with your own money, like how you were talking about, and then they take a little piece of it for themselves. So it's like the win-win that you're talking about. I was wondering how those companies save money. What is their motivation for wanting, you know, they must be getting something out of it.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, Jen, some might do that, some might not. But the thing is, even in that example you brought up, at the most simplest terms, they're doing exactly what anybody can do. All they're doing is just negotiating on your behalf to get your payoff to a lower amount. You know, they're just good at what they do, because that's what they do. They don't have to negotiate and talk to these companies. And so, you know, and then what happens is you sign up, you pay them more, right? They keep part of that money that you're paying them, and then they pay off your accounts to whatever amount that they agreed with their credit card company. Okay. And it's usually like pennies on the dollar. That's what I do, because they know that, okay, this is a $2,000 account. You know, I'm going to negotiate down to like $800. Okay.
Yeah.
And they'll collect the hard people, $1,000, $1,500 from you, you know, or whatever, maybe not even that much, but, you know, just more that they pocket some of that money. So anyway, I don't know if they're doing that, but just as far as, like, anything that's tied to your fictitious, you know, they call it a fictitious name, but it's actually like a legal corporation, just like the United States is a legal corporation located in Washington, D.C. And he goes over that. It's crazy, guys. Mind blowing. Once you learn what everything really is.
Well, then those social security numbers of all the people that have died that are still getting money, and they're still getting money out of the accounts of people that have been dead for over 100 years, you know, they're 150 years old. You know, people don't live that long, and people are drawing money out of these accounts. How is that happening? So it made me think about that too, about how are these people voting? How are dead people voting? How are dead people still getting social security checks when they've been dead for a long time? Who's collecting that money?
So now people have an idea. And like I said, this is more like a
can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, like we, so we've opened the lid now. So, you know, that was the point of this show. We can spend more time later, you know, kind of getting this, maybe even have Brandon on, because he makes a great interview. I've seen some of his other interviews. So, you know, maybe we can do that. But yeah, there you go, guys.
Absolutely. Well, so yeah, so that we're going to have to wrap it up for this show and then look out for the next one.
Yep. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Right, great. And we'll include all the links in the show notes.
Yep.
All right. Bye, guys.
See you.